It's all about you. Jesus, and all this is for you. For your glory and your fame, it's not about me. As if you should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender to your ways.
Taken quite a journey over the last few weeks learning about the upside down way of Jesus. Doesn't make sense when people of the world see and hear his teaching, but we know it's the heart of the message of his gospel. Jesus said, "The first will be last, and the last will be first." We prize our freedom, but we learn that often we use that freedom to sin, and that sin makes us a slave. But Jesus came to free us, and we learn that slavery to God actually makes us truly free. We learn that in this world, the strong seem to be the ones that always succeed and win, but we're told by Jesus that it's the weak who are strong, because we no longer depend on our own strength, but we depend on His. We learn that while many people seek to put on this facade that they are whole, all of us are broken. And the promise of the gospel is that the broken will be made whole. We talked about the fact we all love to receive things, and yet Jesus turned this upside down too, and he said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And last week we talked about the wisdom of this world is but foolishness to God, and we need to be willing to humble ourselves before him in order to become truly wise. And so today we want to bring our concluding message in this series, The Upside Down Way of Jesus. And I want to show you a commercial that maybe you've seen several years ago, but it might bring a little smile back to your face.
I made $50,000 in the stock market today.
I had twins.
I went to the poor farm.
I'm on Millionaire Acres. That's life.
The game of life. The game of life. You will learn about life when you play the game of life. First you start out with $2,000 and a car.
I got a car.
You got a car. Then you may go straight to college just to get a lot of knowledge.
Harvard.
Or to business if you think you'll go as far.
I'll be a star.
You may go far. The game of life.
Game of life. Pay me. I'll get revenge.
You'll get revenge.
I got revenge.
You got revenge. Milton Bradley makes the best games in the world. So play the game of life.
That's life.
Maybe you played that game with your kids, or maybe your grandkids, but the game of life was kind of a fun idea. But you know, we love to talk about life, and the theme of that commercial is you learn about life when you play the game of life. But to conclude our upside down way of Jesus message, we also want to talk about something else. Perhaps some of you have been approached by somebody or seen a commercial talking about prearranging your funeral. Most of the ads today are about insurance that will help you not leave a burden on any of your kids. But we usually want to put off any conversation about death, don't we? We don't like to talk about death, and we don't want to talk about death. But did you know that Jesus talked about his death many times? Let me give you some examples. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 21, Matthew records this, "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead." Now, it doesn't say he just told them once. It says he began to tell his disciples, and he told them over and over again. Later in Matthew 17, verses 22 and 23, Matthew says. After they gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but on the third day, he will be raised from the dead." And the disciples were filled with grief. Again, in Matthew 20, verses 17 to 19, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen to him. "Listen," he said, "we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. They will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead." So Jesus talked a lot about his death. But did you know that Jesus also talked about your death and mine? I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me today to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 832. We're going to start in verses 21 to 23, but we will continue reading, so I encourage you to leave your Bibles open there. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 21. Jesus warned his disciples not to tell anyone who he was. "The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things," he said. "He will be rejected by the elders and the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. He will be killed, but on the third day, he will be raised from the dead." Then he said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me." Now I want you to notice here, Jesus said, the Son of Man will suffer many terrible things, and he'll be rejected, and he'll be killed. But then he says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you need to do three things. The first thing he says that you need to do is to turn from your selfish ways. In some Bible translations, it uses the term to deny yourself. So Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, first thing you got to do is to turn away from your selfishness. Now, denying self is a lifetime of moments when we surrender our will to the Lord in trust and confidence. Now, denying self is absolutely essential to following Jesus. You cannot live for yourself and follow Jesus. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, "You cannot serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other." So Jesus is saying, you got to make a decision here. Which is it? Are you going to follow your own selfish ways, or are you going to follow me? The second thing he says here in Luke 9:23 is that you need to take up your cross. How often? Every day. Now, for most of us, when we think of a cross, we think of a cross that we might decorate in the church, on the table, or maybe on a steeple. Or sometimes we have crosses that we have fashioned into jewelry as necklaces or earrings. But to the people Jesus spoke to, they didn't look at the cross as an object of beauty. Do you know what they looked at it as? It was the instrument of death. It was something to be despised, because criminals were killed in that way. And so when Jesus says, I want you to take up your cross, it means he wants you to take up the instrument of your own death every day. In the book, The Grand Weaver, How God Shapes Us Through the Events of Our Lives, look at what the author says. So where do we begin? You must begin with self-crucifixion. In effect, you go to your own funeral and bury your self-will so that God reigns supremely in your heart. There is no way for the will to be empowered to do God's will until it first dies to its own desires. The gospel message insists that the Holy Spirit does the work of the new birth within us. Because of the Spirit's power within, the follower of Jesus gains the capacity to do God's will. And it's only in and through the power of the Holy Spirit that the Christian walk is even possible. I remain utterly convinced that when you live under God's will, and your will submits to His will, you will become a different person before others. And that's the goal. Jesus wants, when other people look at our lives, to see a disciple that's following Him. But it starts with a willingness to crucify your selfishness. And then, not only are we to deny self and take up a cross, but then we follow Jesus. We walk in the way He walked, and we live in the way He lives. So let's pick it up in Luke 9, verse 24, when Jesus says, "If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for My sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of Me and My message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when He returns in His glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God." So Jesus once again delivers this message that seems so upside down to people of this world. We want to live. We want to pursue life. We want to pursue a good life. But Jesus said, if you want to experience life the way it was intended, you got to die to self. You have to die to self so you can live for God. And so, as odd as it sounds, Jesus says, death to self gives you true life, the life God intends you to live. Now, in John chapter 11, we read the amazing story about Jesus and His friends, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And you might remember that the sisters sent a message to Jesus that his friend Lazarus was very sick. And they told Jesus, "Come quickly." But Jesus stayed where He was for 2 more days. And then when He finally arrives, He finds out Lazarus is already dead, been buried. And then Jesus says something pretty phenomenal. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in Me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in Me and believes in Me will never ever die." What a promise. Then Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "My old self has been crucified with Christ." That's exactly what Jesus said needed to happen. And then Paul says, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." That again is what Jesus asked. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. And then Paul says, "So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." That's exactly what Jesus asked him to do, and he did. And Jesus asked this same thing for all who want to follow Him. And then Paul said in Romans 12:1, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him." Now, for many of us, we think coming to a church service on Sunday morning is how we worship God, right? And this is a way to worship God. But Paul says here, truly the way to worship Him is by every day giving yourself as a living and holy sacrifice to God. That's the sacrifice He finds acceptable. He doesn't want people just to make a nod to Him on Sunday mornings and then live their life the rest of the week the way they want. He wants somebody whose heart is truly His. And that only happens if we have this funeral to selfie so we can live for Him. When I was in Bible college and was taking a class on Romans, our professor told me something that really ingrained in my mind what this passage means, and I want to share it because hopefully it will do the same thing for you. When Paul was writing this in the first century, people were accustomed to making sacrifices. The Jews would do it to Jehovah God, but there were a lot of Gentile believers who were sacrificing to all kinds of different gods, Greek gods, Roman gods. But the sacrifices all had one thing in common. They would bring an animal to a temple or a priest. And what did they do to that animal? They killed it. And they killed it before they put it on the altar to be burnt. Do you know why they killed the animal before they put it on the altar? Said, stay there, right? And this is what my professor said. The biggest problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps wanting to crawl off the altar. And that's the circumstance in which we find ourselves. We make this commitment to God, and I want to live for Him, but I'm giving my life as a living sacrifice set apart to God. But the longer I try to serve Him, there's this temptation to keep crawling off the altar. And this is why Jesus said, you must deny your selfish desires, take up your own cross, death to your selfish desires, and follow me. The hard truth is, one day we're all going to die physically. That's the hard truth. We live in these mortal bodies, and it's a consequence of sin. But Jesus says, if you're living for self, putting your life and your desires and your will first, it's going to lead to another death. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death. Now in the song, The Wonderful Cross, which was featured during our communion time, Chris Tomlin puts it this way. Oh, the wonderful cross! Oh, the wonderful cross! Bids me come and die, and find that I may truly live. Wait a minute, that's upside down, isn't it? But he says it in the chorus again. Oh, the wonderful cross! Oh, the wonderful cross! It bids me come and die, and find that I may truly live. That life that God wants us to live is the life that honors Him. And when we give up our lives for Jesus, that's when we find real freedom from death and we can truly live for Him. Because you know, when I have the confidence that after this life, I'm going to have an eternal life with Him, I'm not as afraid of death anymore because I have that promise. Now, it doesn't seem right in the eyes of the world, but this is the upside down way of Jesus, that death means life. So I wonder, what about you this morning? Have you ever scheduled the crucifixion of your selfish ways? Did you ever think about it like that? Have you ever planned the funeral for your selfish ways? Have you ever buried your selfish ways so that the Lord will reign supremely in your heart? That's what Jesus is asking for if you want to follow Him. When was the last time you actually said no to your selfish desires and followed Jesus in sacrificial obedience? Those are hard questions, but the truth of the matter is, Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, the instrument of your death to selfie, every day, and follow Him. Several years ago, there was a contemporary Christian musician named John Fisher who wrote a very challenging song. I heard John sing this song the first time when I was in college, and he actually came and did a concert for us. And he is not just a sing-songy kind of guy. He is somebody who has written lyrics with some real heart and with some real challenge. And I want you to check out this song. It's called Nobody Wants to Die.
Thank you.
powerful lyrics. I love the way he paints the contrast. We want the good stuff. We don't want the bad stuff. But the only way we're going to make it to heaven one day is we got to die. But we first have to die to self. And that's the upside down way of Jesus. Jesus does not offer to make bad people good, but to make dead people alive. And if you're here today and you've been walking down a path of selfishness, Jesus calls us to live in a different way by denying self, taking up his cross, and following him. So my challenge for you today is this. Is it time to plan the funeral for your selfish ways? It's your choice. You can do it. And you can choose to follow the life that Jesus calls you to live. And I want to remind you of this important verse from Romans 12:1. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So I hope as a nation that we take a holiday tomorrow and remember those who have sacrificed their lives so we could experience freedom in our country, let us also remember the great sacrifice that Jesus made so we could experience freedom from sin and be able to live in such a way that we can truly worship him by giving our lives as a living and holy sacrifice to God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, what a challenging message today. We do like to talk about the way we live our life, but we sure don't like to talk about death, and we sure don't like to talk about death to self. But Lord, I pray that we can have an honest conversation with you this week and see if there's any way within our hearts that needs to die so that Jesus can live. Jesus' ways are so upside down, so counterintuitive to the way that we've been raised by our culture, and yet his words are the words of life. And his name is the one name by which we must be saved. So Jesus, we acknowledge your words today, and Lord, we want to be your disciples. We want to follow you. Help us follow your will and your word and your ways so that we can truly live. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song.
Under heaven, whereby we must be saved. One name under heaven, whereby we must be saved. Forgiven of my sin, baptized in the water, filled with the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Forgiven of my sin, baptized in the water, filled with the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now I'm free, really free, my friend, free by the blood of the Lamb.